A hero is one who meets a need and then is invisible. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Inspiration. A hero is one who meets a need and then is invisible. How many heroes do you know in the world? Millions of them. We know millions of heroes, but we don't know that they're heroes. And that's the wonderful thing. To be a hero is really to be a blessing in someone's life, and then nobody knows that it was you. Jesus tried to be a hero so many times in his teachings, but nobody let him. He would work with people and say, go and tell no one that you had a healing. And the people would run right out and tell people they got the healing. Then, of course, they didn't have the healing. And then they think that Jesus was a fake. And, of course, he was a fake. Because he didn't do it. They did it. And they gave it up. We do it, and we give it up. Now, who's the hero in your life?
I.
Is it your mom, your dad, your family, your friends, or yourself? You are the hero in your life. And you're the only hero that you will ever know. And you will not consider yourself a hero. You won't think of yourself as a hero because what you do is just normal. And this is what heroes do too. Just a normal thing. Being a blessing to someone, lifting your eyes up for someone, showing them a new way, showing them a new light, a new way to understand life. It's a wonderful thing. Now, a hero is someone who meets a need and then is invisible. How many times have you prayed for something? Have you asked the divine within you to reveal something to you? And then, when it comes, you turn it down. You say, that can't be true. That's too good to be true. That's not right. It's got to be harder than that. And of course, then, it doesn't happen, and it is harder than that. So what do we do? What we do is that we just go on and be ourselves and have fun. You see, the simplicity of this sort of a teaching is it's difficulty. When you say to a person, be yourself and have fun, right away they think some deep metaphysical impact to it. And it's just simple words, be yourself and have fun. This is what a hero is, being himself and having fun. There are people who like to play the game of hero. And they go out and look for accidents, they go out and look for incidents where they can be a hero. And some are like to be a hero and don't want to be rewarded. Others want to be a hero and want to be rewarded. One fireman recently, he needed to have a few extra bucks for his kid to go to school in fall. And so he started a few fires and gave himself some work. And so they were out putting out these fires and he had the extra money. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Thrill, thrill, thrill. This is not how we want to do it. If the fireman needed extra money or wanted extra money, he would merely say, I now have the abundance that is important for me to have. I am abundant. I am richly supplied with everything that I choose to have. I enjoy having. Is this true?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We were at an INTA conference, Congress, and during that INTA Congress, we are thought of as healing people because the University of Healing is what we have. And I had at least 36 people come up to me and say, would I pray for them? And I said, well, it's done. You don't even know what I need. I said, I don't need to know what you need. I speak my word that whatever is the desire of your heart is fulfilled now. And you may not even know what the desire of your heart is, but I speak it. Well, I have problems with my finances. I want to pay this and I want to pay that and I haven't got this and I haven't got that. And I said, well, that's great. I said, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to have money if you go around telling people you don't have it. And certainly if you go around telling a practitioner like myself that you don't have money, then all I can do is just see you not having money. And I'll see you doing it abundantly. Oh, that's stupid. No. Whatsoever things you ask, believing that you receive them, you got them. Now, you asked me to work with you on your limitation. You asked me to work with you on your lack of abundance. You asked me to work with you on your needs and your wants being unsolved. Being unsolved. But I don't do that. I work with you on everything being fulfilled right now. What is it you'd like in your life? What would you like to experience? Would you like abundance? Would you like health? Happy relationships? Would you like everything in divine order? If you would, then let's put that in motion. Well, of course, that's what I want. But I got to tell you my problem. I said, please don't. If you tell me your problem, I'm going to have to just clear my consciousness of the problem and get back to what it is that you want. So instead of going through all that extra nonsense, why don't you just tell me what you really want? Now, you say you're having difficulty with your husband. Let's put a new cause in motion. You have the most fabulous husband in the world. He is desired by you and everybody else. Everybody thinks you have the most fabulous husband in the world, but he's not. Shut up. You have the most fabulous husband in the world. Now, only say that. But he, look, how are you ever going to get him if you're not going to prepare yourself to receive him? And if you're going to think that your husband is not nice, and then he comes home and he's not nice, and he's just fulfilling the prophecy, then that's what you got. But say that your husband is fabulous. Start thinking of all the neat little things that he's done. I can't think of anything. Well, make him up. Lie. Go ahead. My husband always gives me a kiss on the cheek before he leaves in the morning. My husband always comes home with a flower or two, or he may have picked this from the neighbor's yard. That doesn't matter. But he brought it for me. He cares about me. And my husband comes to my bed at night. He doesn't go to somewhere else. That's my husband. And my husband, and just go on talking about all the neat things about your husband or your wife. Whatever it is. And that's what it'll be. And the more you talk about it, the more you got it. We talked to a lady the other day and she disclaimed a man as her husband. And she didn't only disclaim him, she said, him? You know? And in previous years, that him was very close to her. They were very dear to each other. Now she is telling us that she is a schnook, that she is stupid, that she chose a man years ago who is not nice now, that over the years she trained him to not be nice, that when she got him, he was nice, but now he's not nice. She did a very interesting job, didn't she? You see? And so I tell her, if you ever get a divorce or separation or anything, don't knock what you had. Because what you had, you chose that because that was very special to you at that time. And that you may have grown your separate ways. You don't hate each other. You're just doing your new thing, your new way. So don't beat the dead horse because you're not going to get anywhere. And people are just going to think, gee, she's stupid. She's marrying the same type of person again. She's marrying an alcoholic again and again and again and again. Doesn't she ever learn, you know? And the world looks at you and says, hey, now, if you marry a wonderful guy and then he passes on, well, who else are you going to marry? Another wonderful guy. And if he passes on, you marry another wonderful guy. But hey, marry them that have a nice long life. That's part of it too. A healthy guy. Wonderful guys don't all have to be sick, you know. They could be wonderful guys and healthy, too. And this is what we put into motion. My mother always said to me, she says, Herbie, always remember, love is wonderful, but you can marry a rich girl and love her, too. You know? You don't have to marry a poor person. And now, she wasn't meaning that I should go marry someone I didn't love. But she meant that why fall in love with someone who is not interested in what you're interested in? Your class, you know, below your class. And that's not what I'm talking about. But they're not interested in what you're interested in, you know? And what do most women do who are very, 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 very stupid? They pretend to like what their husband, what their boyfriend likes. They go to the sport games and they don't care about those sport games. But they go because they want to be with their boyfriend. They don't care about the different things the husband is doing, the boyfriend is doing, but they go because they want to be with that person. Now, why don't you find someone who does things that you like to do and make a relationship there and a friendship? And you know, you may not have overemphasis in one area or another of your relationship, but you will have an emphasis in the total picture in a very harmonious way. Now, some people just go into it for the body. He has a good body, she has a good body, and we make a good-looking couple, you know. And then they have good-looking kids and stuff like that. But they can't stand each other. They can't stand each other because, you see, what they made a mistake was, let one be the beauty, and then you appreciate that beauty. And if you appreciate that man or woman who is a beauty, and say, hey, I got the greatest looking husband in the world, you know, the rest of the women in the world wish they had him, you know, but he chose me, and I chose him. Now, on the same for a girl. But no, we want to be a hero. And the hero wants to always have somebody just like themselves. Now, it's true, you don't have to go to sport games that you're not interested in just to get your boyfriend's attention or your girlfriend's attention. But if you really love them, they are not in sports. Now, I know it sounds strange. They are not in sports. You are with them because they are there, not because they're in sports. Now, the mother goes to the sporting games for her kids, caring very little about the sports, but she cares about her kids. And she sees her kids are having a good time, and that makes her happy. And it's not because she likes the sports, or he likes the sports. Now, there's a lot of times that Mariella's husband, Ellen's son-in-law, he likes certain sports. But he goes to the sports that his kids go to on a lower level because he likes his kids. And he likes to see them do what they want to do. And sometimes they don't want to do it. And they change, which is perfectly okay too. And he doesn't say, now you've been training in that for 3 months and 3 years. Now you got to stay with it. He doesn't say that. He says, hey, life has changed. You don't have to be a hero. You just do that which makes you happy. That which delights you. And this is what we want to do. We want to be the hero to ourselves. The hero is the person that we respect and love and who means something to us, who has, in effect, changed our life by their presence, by their wonder, by their magic, by the experience of their very being with us. And that's kind of nice, isn't it? I know my wife had no interest in flying. She had no interest in the things my son did. But she was always there with him, supporting him in whatever he wanted to do. She was kind of a worrywart, but she always supported him. And though Mark got mad because she was always there and always caring and always in the way, you know, he appreciated it because there were very few other mothers there. And all of the guys and girls who were in flying and working in the program said, boy, you're lucky to have a mom who really appreciates what you're doing, who really cares. Yeah, you know. But he didn't realize what a glorious thing that was. You follow me? And we don't always realize it because what did the most mothers want? They want you to approve of them. Thank you, Mom, for taking me here. Thank you, Mom, for doing this. Thank you, Mom. And Mark would just say, thanks, Mom, for being with me. And she took him everywhere. You know, thanks, Mom, for being with me. And you see, that's the difference. That's not a manipulative thank you. That's an honest, deep, sincere hero worship thank you. And this is where we can all be. We can thank the divine in us for being with us and guiding us to accomplish whatever desire we have in our heart, because the divine gave us the desire. And then we go out and we bring it forth, and what happens? We're happy. You may not be a millionaire, but you're happy. You're happy. And what more do you want? I mean, you can win a lot of money and be unhappy, or you can win a lot of money and be happy. Now, you'd want to win a lot of money and be happy. But what if you didn't win it and you were happy? Now, that's good too. I showed Sam our motorhome, and he said, wow, this is nice. That's a big thing, you know. And I said, well, we'll have to get you a ride in it before you, you know, go up to San Jose there. I was going to Santa Cruz, you know, where my wife is, San Jose. And true, we'll just have to take a spin with him and show him how it extends and so forth. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is a real home. This is nice. Mm-hmm. And it is. It is. But you see, what did Sam do? Instead of saying, hey, I want to go for a ride in your motorhome. I want to go with this. And I want to do that. And I want to do that. He's, man, that is a beautiful, you got good taste. That is a great motor. Come, let me give you a ride. And you see, that's like a parent. When they delight in their children, the children want to do all the better for them. And a husband, when you delight in him, he wants to be all the more wonderful husband. And a wife, when you delight in her, wants to be all the more wonderful a wife. Yeah, yeah. A hero is one who needs, who meets a need and is invisible. The mother who's invisible. The father who's invisible. The husband who's invisible. The wife who's invisible. The friend and ourselves. But you know, when we get down to it, the divine seems to be invisible within us. And that's the best friend we could ever have or ever want. I love you. I love you. I love you. Have a great day.